chapter 6, and really looking at one verse. I've mentioned in this whole section the hesitance that I have to apply the text, because when it comes to God's challenge to wives, I feel ill-equipped to stand before you and tell the women how they ought to behave as wives. And so it seemed well to see what God says, see what his vision is that he lives for us, and leave the Holy Spirit to apply that. There's so many extenuating circumstances and so many hard things to be able to say, this is what you have to do, and I feel ill-equipped to do that. So I've simply sought to look at what the text says, and the same with husbands. I have more experience, obviously, in that field, but don't feel at all that I'm able to stand here and say, this is what husbands must be, except insofar as God says to me in the text, this is what husbands must be. And I trust the Lord has helped us to look at them that way, and perhaps to go away with the Lord Jesus himself, by his Holy Spirit, challenging us and applying the text. What we're looking at today is to fathers and their relationship with their children, and I still feel that I look back on my own experience and feel that I certainly am not a perfect example of this particular challenge and feel my own inadequacy. So I will simply try to look at what it says. And this is a very interesting text, especially because there are words to look up, which are awfully useful in thinking about what is on the mind of the apostle. So that's our goal. We're going to seek to look at this passage now, and it's really one verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have expanded and enlarged our view of the wonderful God is. You've used this writing of the apostle to amaze us, to expand our minds and warm our hearts to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've enlarged our vision, caught us up in the most wonderful picture of who God is, and we have beheld our God, and it's wonderful. But we know in this latter part of the book, you have gotten very specific with one exhortation after another. Thank you, Lord. We who have been quickened by your Spirit have been given a desire to do that which will please you. And we thank you that you're pleased to tell us the things that please you in the behavior of men and women and boys and girls. And so we ask you to be with us and help us in this hour, granting us grace to consider what do you have for us in this particular sentence, and help us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Kids know how to push their parents' buttons. But parents know how to push the kids' buttons too. And the attitude things that so complicate relationships and so upset and trigger so many feelings are because we know how to push each other's buttons. And Paul's exhortation is to the parent, to the dads especially, don't push your kids' buttons. Don't exasperate your children. Don't push your kids' buttons. You know, there's only one other use of this verse, don't exasperate. It's rather, in a sense, rather easy to approach because there's only one other use in the New Testament. And so we can see, well, what does it say there? What does this mean when it says, don't exasperate your children? That's a wonderful word, exasperate. It's covered with many different nuances. But what does the text, how is the text used elsewhere? I'd really like you to look at Romans 10, verse 19. Because here's the only other use of this particular word in the New Testament. In Romans 10 and verse 19, where God is speaking, well, there's a quote of the Old Testament. Now I've got to find it. 10 and verse, that's what I'm not real good at right now, finding the place, but Romans 10 and verse 19. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. Now that will bring us back to the whole question of how is God speaking to Israel at that time to Moses. But we're looking just simply at the way the word is used and what it means. And it means make them angry. I will make you angry. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. God intended to make the people of God angry, to stir them up. We know Paul speaks in another place about the way he preaches the gospel and wants to preach in such a way that the Jews will be envious and will want to believe in Jesus because of the power of what God showed to the people of God. And he desires to stir them up. Well, God speaks in this place, I'm going to stir you up and I'm going to make you angry by the other nations that are around you, by a nation that has no understanding. I'm going to shake you. And he says, I'm going to make you angry. Well, that's the only other use of it, make angry. And Paul says to the fathers, don't make your kids angry. And I think it's not unreasonable to say, don't push their buttons. You know what upsets them. And God is challenging us not to do that. Don't make them angry. Don't push your kids' buttons. Be the grown-up. Now, that's a challenge, and one knows how easy it is to experience the kids pushing your buttons and the response of doing the same thing to them. Well, that seems to be the thrust of what the text says, and it's a challenge to us. And really it is, fathers, don't push your kids' buttons. You be the grown-up. Well, that's something that I think we need to take to heart, and of course there's degree to which we have to say that those things, that dynamic goes on not just involving the fathers and the children, the whole family situation. I guess the really to say don't everybody push each other's buttons. Don't make each other angry. And that's the thrust of that first part of it. But it says rather than make them angry, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Nurture them. Build them up, help them to grow, nurture them like you'd nurture a plant, nurture them. The word appears 6 times in the scripture in terms of nurturing. And so here we have a place where we can much more see how does God use that term nurture. It says bring them up in the nurture, in the training. Well, we're looking at the word training at this point. Bring them up in the training. We want to look at what the word training means. And for that, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Because here's a passage where that same word, training, appears again and again, and I think it's very helpful. You don't need to take hours to examine every single word and pursue it to the nth degree. But you can see in Hebrews chapter 12, you do see that same word that is spoken of here as training of the Lord. This is the word that's given. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, and we begin with verse 5. But really, it's 5, 7, 8, 11. 5, 7, 8, and 11 is the word discipline. So what we have Paul saying in Ephesians, training of the Lord, he's talking about discipline. And that's what we want to look at for a moment. Notice how he says it. Let's look at chapter 12 and see how many times the word discipline is there and realize that's the same word that is said as training in chapter 6 of Ephesians. This is chapter 12. Look at verses 5. I'll begin there and read. Verse 5. No. Okay, yes. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits, and live. Our fathers disciplined us for a time, for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. I think it's helpful to think, well, how does God discipline us? Not simply looking at the word training, but connected with it. How does God discipline us? Well, some people emphasize the need in terms of little children to discipline with spankings, and we know that there's a time when that's very valuable, but that isn't the way he disciplines you right now. There are ways God disciplines us. When we go astray, God does deal with us. Is there something about the way he disciplines us that is a picture of how we should discipline our children? Well, how does God discipline? Well, he often does it by taking away something that we wanted. Isn't that the case? Sometimes you're on the wrong track and God takes away something that you otherwise wanted. And you eventually realize that there's God working in your life, that God did that. One thing is taking away something that's valued. Another thing God does to discipline us, he gives us problems with relationships. Something is difficult to work out, and it's a way of God disciplining us, showing us things about ourselves, showing us things about the situation. He disciplines, we're disciplined, even as adults, by God giving problems in a relationship. Sometimes God disciplines us by costing us money. Something comes along that really hits us for a loop. And sometimes, I mean, there's many reasons in which God does that, and at times it's simply to give an occasion where he can show his amazing goodness in providing. But most of us can realize that sometimes God disciplines us by costing us a lot of money. We learn something by really being set back by a way in which we were cost. We cost something. And sometimes he just messes up our happiness. And these are things that God does to discipline us. Well, is there any way in which that applies to the way a parent can minister to the children? Is it only that he's going to take them out to the woodshed and beat them? Well, God doesn't. God does at times take us out to the woodshed and beat us, but it's not a physical thing. And we know something of it. So probably to understand what he means when he says bring them up in the training, he's talking about discipline. He's talking about showing the consequences of wrong choices. Isn't that what discipline is? Showing the consequences of wrong choices. And isn't that what God's calling fathers to do? Help the children to see the consequences of wrong choices. Perhaps to impose consequences on wrong choices, even as we have to admit God does to us. He disciplines us. He imposes upon us the consequences of wrong choices in order that he might teach us and really draw us to the end of ourselves and help us to draw near to him. We can usually find out. God usually makes it clear what the problem is when we're facing his discipline. We can usually find out. We could ask others, what is the Lord teaching me in this? And sometimes others can be a real help. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy for God to deal with you. Sometimes not easy for God to deal with me. So we remember our own struggle, and we let that temper the way we react to our children. The view is, bring them up in the training of the Lord, which involves things like for facing the consequences of the things that we've done. It's well to look and see how is God disciplining me, and it's well to look at the situation where I have responsibility and seek to discipline those that are under me. Well, that's what that word training means. It's always used as discipline. Almost all the time it's that. And the training, whatever that brings to mind, it ought not to lose the emphasis on discipline. It's training in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And actually, this can be looked up with only two other references. What is it talking about when it's talking about instruction of the Lord? For these, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians 10:11, where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and pointing back to the Old Testament, and he says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages have come. The word warning, that's the other two uses of the word instruction. It's the element of warning. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. These are all fairly close. Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. The other use of the word that's translated instruction, Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, sorry, which is warn, that's the word, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time, after that have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Of course, the thing is warn. That's what instruction, the word translated here instruction, in the other two cases is used, it's warn. And so it makes us think, in what degree is warning the task of the parent? He says, don't make your children angry. Instead, bring them up in the training and the warning of the Lord. Really, warning is a very good big part of a parent's responsibility. You look at the book of Proverbs, and what does the writer to Proverbs say to his son again and again? A warning. Warning about this, warning about that. Alerting them to dangers, pointing out the things that are likely to cause them to trip up. Again and again, we have Solomon warning his children. David speaks of his scriptures as saying, by them is your servant warned. Now, kids do not always heed warnings, but a key part in a parent dealing with them is to warn them. Alert them to the things that are coming that could be problems. Warn them of the consequences and danger of wrong choices. As you read the book of Proverbs, just note the number of warnings that God gives. Well, that's a means that God has to guide and direct a child. And some of us can look back at warnings that we received or that we heard and we heeded, or warnings that we heard and we didn't heed. And so God has taught us in these ways. But that's a father's responsibility. As far as these words are concerned, the word in 1 Corinthians 10 and again in Titus both mean warn. And we can see how God has that as a special challenge of a parent. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't make your children angry. Instead, bring them up in the training and the warnings of the Lord. Kids do not always heed warnings, but they ought to be made. Kids make mistakes, but if they've been warned, they might come back and say they were wrong and ask how to get things back together again. A father works toward a relationship that might continue after the kid leaves home. Dads can still warn their kids sometimes. So God calls us to seek to have that. Basically, don't push your kids' buttons. Instead, guide them in the training and nurture them in the training and the warning that God has in his Bible. Of course, praying that God will overrule and bring wonderful good about what you've been trying to do. I don't know if there's anybody my age who looks back at their experience as a father and thinks they did it right. I suspect there aren't any people like that. Well, maybe some do. Some really don't know themselves. But I doubt there are many that look back and say they did it right. But it was well to think this is the goal that God has, that fathers do not make their children angry, that fathers instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, in the nurture, the admonition, the warnings of the Lord. May God enable us to praise him that he's made any of us fathers. May we respond to his dealing with us. May we respond to his dealing with us. May we slow down our kids from a course that's going to bring problems and difficulties to them. May we help them to see what we're driving at as we try to guide and direct them in the way that they should go. May we challenge them to see what God's driving at in their lives. These are the things basically that God has before us in the passage. They aren't things that we can feel we have accomplished, that we have done these things, that we have succeeded in seeking to do them, but they're things that God puts before us to call upon his name and to seek his face. Now, I've lost the page that I'm looking for, and I wanted to include something else as we go. I'm sorry. I saw Francis Schaeffer do this one time. He was doing a talking. I don't know if you ever heard recordings of Francis Schaeffer. Astonishing how fast he could talk. And actually, some recordings made it a point of slowing it down because he was so... But I saw him rattle along while he kept thinking and kept his thought, and he was looking, going through pages like I'm doing now. I certainly am not Francis Schaeffer, but that kind of thing makes me think of his losing his place one time, how wonderful it was. Didn't stop him. He pressed on. And he finally found where he would be, and so I found where I would be. And it's basically to recapitulate. Number one, don't push your kids' buttons. Number two, nurture them the way God nurtures you. Number three, warn them. And number four, pray that God will overrule and bring wonderful good out of what you've been trying to do. Praise God that he has made us fathers. May we respond to his dealing with us. May we slow down our kids. May we help them see what we're driving at. May we challenge them to see what God is driving at. May we help them. May we do unto them as Jesus has done unto us. And may the Lord be praised. Well, these are the outline, at least, of what it seems to me Paul wants to say to fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. May God grant us grace to do that. May God help us to catch the vision for what God has for fathers, children. May God help us to relate to them in such a way as to help them become the kind of fathers that honor and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your word together. We feel the force of your challenge, and it brings to our minds the many ways in which we have fallen short, have not responded as you'd have us to respond, have not been the children that you call us to be, not listened to your exhortation, not been willing to be corrected, how we have not heeded warnings, time and again made mistakes and done things that are wrong. We faced your discipline when you've dealt with us in such a way as to deprive us of something we wanted, cost us money, give us a problem with relationships. You've done the very things in our life that you're calling us to seek to use in such a way as to minister to our children. But Lord, we haven't responded very well to you. We do praise you. We've not served you as we ought. We've not known you as we ought. But we thank you, Lord, that you have loved us and borne with us. Grant us a kind of attitude toward our children that we can bear with them and encourage them and be to them what you have been to us. Lord, as you give us a challenge from your word, help us to embrace that challenge and look to you for wisdom and for grace. Thank you for the wonderful kindness you've shown to us. Thank you that you've been such a wonderful father to us. Thank you that you've not exasperated us. Thank you that you have gently directed and helped us, disciplined us. Thank you for the kindness you've shown. Thank you for the warnings that you've given. Lord, we respond to you, and we pray you'll help us to be the parent that you'd have us to be as we respond to our children. Grant us grace and encourage us, we pray. We thank you for the love with which you've loved us, and we pray you'd help us to lift our hearts even now to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.